Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Infinite Weekly, an extension of the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. Here on Infinite Weekly, we got gaming news, we got rants, raves, discussions, we got it all. And today's episode is going to be a little different format. Just going to focus on a couple of different topics. Kind of sit by the fireplace and just relax as we enjoy this beautiful conversations on this beautiful day. I want people to get comfortable, you know, just sit by the fire. We're going to be talking about mobile gaming, its effect on modern gaming, how gaming influenced us as kids versus adults, and of course, video games and upcoming anticipated games. Joining me today, we've got this great scholar man named Marcus Kruger. Welcome to the show, man. I appreciate you for being here today.
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm glad to be here and being part of it.
Yeah, man, we're gonna have a nice conversation today. You know, you gave us a list of things, and I felt like people needed to hear about this, and people needed to talk about mobile gaming, because I feel like mobile gaming definitely has taken over the world. You know, I see my father all the time on his bed playing Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, damn. Like, here's a little fun fact too, just to start off the episode. Like, I've only ever played two mobile games, like, through and through. Other than that, I don't touch mobile games at all. Let's start there. Do you play a lot of mobile games?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I honestly never thought I was going to get too into. And honestly, I'm not a fiend for mobile game. The only reason I even brought it up, and by the way, I'm sorry to just, like, give you topics right off the bat. Like, this is, like, your show, and I'm like, yo, let's talk about this and stuff. It's just that, like, I kind of heard already all your episodes. There's some I haven't heard, but most of them. And I'm just like, yo, I can't wait, you know, to have an opportunity and come to your show and talk about a bunch of stuff about gaming. And I just had this idea to talk about because no one is talking about it. I mean, there are some people that are. But it needs to be talked a lot more.
Heck yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and it's becoming, it's pretty bad. Because it's seeping into, like, the real gaming. I don't know if you remember when, I think it was Mortal Kombat 10. So they're just, like, coming off a high from Mortal Kombat 9.
Yeah.
Because it was so successful. And then I think Mortal Kombat 10 came out. And he has so much. So we were talking earlier about Angry Joe. So he interviewed Ed Boon, and he asked him, "How's the microtransactions looking like? Are we going to expect a lot of that? You know, are we going to have some, but it's not going to interfere with the gameplay?" And Ed Boon's like, "Yeah, no, it's not going to affect the gameplay at all. We're just going to throw it in there or whatever. It's not going to be anything crazy." And then I think the game came out, and it was pretty heavy.
Oh man.
Yeah, I don't remember anymore because the game came out like now, like 4 years ago or something. But
let me add.
It might have been Mortal Kombat 11 then. I'm mistaken.
Yeah, because Mortal Kombat X, Mortal Kombat 10, that one didn't have. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember microtransactions in that game. In 11, oh my god, from the get, when I first played that game, it had the microtransactions, and I was like, oh no.
it was definitely that one, because it was, I remember it being that bad, and it was, and Angry Joe talked about it. It was like, hey, you know, I interviewed Ed Boon, and he promised us no microtransactions, or very little, or very little on the impact of the game. And it was the opposite. Like, it was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah, it's something about time stones or whatever it is. I didn't pay attention to that, but you're right. You're absolutely right. It has seeped into modern gaming to the point where, like, it is a standard now. Even the new Resident Evil 4 has microtransactions. By the way, that episode is coming, guys. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, right? I've heard we could start this conversation too, you know, like, it's meant to keep us in the game and obviously, you know, drain our wallets. But that's the point of these microtransactions, right? Like, they make it so that you don't earn enough to buy the things you want. And so you have to spend your wallet, you know, the money in your wallet to get these things.
Right. And I don't know if the origin of microtransactions came really from mobile gaming. I'm pretty sure it probably came way before that. But I think mobile gaming is what really pushed it to where it's at right now.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, I don't know what it is about mobile gaming that, you know, these developers just want you to just shell out more money. But I think it came from the, or at least it exploded from the simulator games, like the farming simulators, like, or you have like, what's it, Clash of Titans or whatever, yeah, what's it called?
Yeah, yep.
And it makes it look like, so, you know, you have like a little map, and then you start building like a little house, and then you want to upgrade that house, and but it takes like 2 hours. But then if you want to like speed that up, give me like 10 diamonds, and then, you know, you can have the new house instantly. But then 10 diamonds cost like $2, and then, you know, and then it just blew it up. And people do, you know, they got fed into this. They started
buying in-game
transactions.
But that's what I'm saying.
And it just blew up. People realize, oh shit, this app made so much money from incentivizing people that they can, you know, play the game at a faster rate and continue the story or continue their development in the game by paying more. Let me do the same thing. And then another company's like, shit, I gotta do the same because I'm missing out.
Yo, billions, bro. Billions of dollars off of microtransactions and all these mobile games. Like, and again, I don't play mobile games. There's only two games I've ever played in my life on mobile. Well, I'm not going to say in my life, but I currently play one. It's like a card game, a mobile card game. But I don't even think, I mean, I guess you could put it in the mobile category. I am playing it on the phone. So I play Hearthstone. I don't know if you're familiar with Hearthstone.
I heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, and I've played this one game with this frog, and like you have to cut the rope in a certain way to like get the marble. That's it. And maybe a little bit of Candy Crush, but I have never spent money on microtransactions, but I've seen people just, you know, it's gotten to the point where it becomes addicting. Because that's the thing. Here's a great point today. Just in modern day in general, right? Everything is designed to keep you on an app or on your phone or whatever it is that you're doing. Let me give you an example. Like, you could go into your bank app, Chase, for example, right? The app is designed to give you certain things after a certain amount of time and display certain things in certain areas so you could stay on that Chase app all day. And it's crazy. It might sound crazy, but it's true. It's like, hey, yo, let me show you your credit score. Hey, yo, let me show you another card that you can get. Hey, yo, did you check out your points? That is the exact same thing. It has seeped into everything and anything in our lives. It's worse than commercials. I mean, remember commercials? Commercials are not even that bad anymore. I prefer commercials over microtransactions.
Word. It's someone, I don't know who said it, but they're saying that your phone is now a limb of your, like a new part of your body.
Oh, Jesus.
Like they're calling it like, yeah, they're calling it basically a limb, a new thing to your body now, because it's like, you have it on you all the time. It's attached to your hand, like all the time.
Oh my God.
And I'm guilty of that. I mean,
we are.
I have no choice. Everything's on my phone. Yeah, and like mobile gaming or games or game developers are taking advantage of that fact that we're so hooked on our phones. And I mean, you've never really just like you've never seen an ad for a game, and it looks so like interesting and incentivizing. And it's like, it's not even for like. And look, it might look even stupid at some points, but it looks like, oh, this looks like a fun little game I could play on my way to work or some shit like that.
Yeah.
And you download it, and then you play, and it's crap. But then within that game, there's another ad for another game that looks interesting. And then you download that one. It's like, hey, let me check this one out.
Oh.
And then it goes over and over. And it's like, I think that's where I kind of got a little bit hooked on the mobile gaming thing. And I'm not saying, like, I'm not a professional mobile game or anything. Like, I literally just download whatever looks, you know, interesting and fun. And if I like it, I like it. And to be honest with you, most of these mobile games, I end up getting real tired of them. I play them. If it's a really good one, I'll play it for a couple of months. And then I'll just, like, completely go cold turkey. Like I've never cared about the game ever.
Does it stay in your phone? The app? Does the app stay in your phone?
Yeah. Like there was one called Idol Mafia. And I don't know what it was about it, but I just got hooked on it. And I played it for an entire year. And now I'm up. I don't even open it anymore.
Oh my gosh, man.
And I've dropped. So there was a point in time where they had, I played the game so much and I just wanted to continue that I actually bought the subscription monthly for like $5 to like just make your game just better. I'll make the gameplay like better. And I did that for like 3 months and then I just like fell off of it.
Well, let me ask you, did it make the difference though? Did you feel the difference of like whatever?
Oh yeah. It made a difference. Like I actually felt like I can advance a lot more and get to where I want to be in the game. But then you know what's crazy? That feeling of the challenge, it dies so quickly. Whoa. So there's another game that I got. I haven't even touched it too. And I spent, so it's called Mini Football, right? So it's like a mini soccer game. I don't know if you remember Mini Clip. It was a Flash Games website. Right. So anyway, so it's from this company, right? And then it's just a little soccer game. And I was just, you know, like I don't travel with a car. I have a car, but I don't go to work with it. So, you know, my time from home to work or work from home, I play these stupid games. And, you know, that's another game I got hooked on because it was you play against other people. And then, you know, like you want to win the match and then you want to get better players, blah, blah, blah. So eventually I started losing a lot because my players sucked. And so then I bought the season pass, which lasts like 3 months. And it's like $15. And I was like, yo, honestly, $15, that's like lunch right now. Like it's not really it's not really gonna do anything. I mean, like I can spend $20 on lunch. Like, well, what, you know what different, you know, it's not gonna do anything. I buy it and then I start playing it. I get some upgrades, I get some better players, and then guess what happens? I completely lose interest in the game.
Oh my god, that is so interesting though. Because like maybe it's the challenge, maybe it's the thing that you're going after, and then now that you have it, and I want to bounce off of that point too, because the model of pay to win, right? Because you're literally paying for the best characters, abilities, whatever the game offers, right? It says pay $5 and get extra EXP to level up your character or get a buffed up character to, you know, destroy your opponents. That is everywhere too. Not only in just mobile games, but also in some of, you know, modern gaming where like if you have a certain character or a certain thing, you have an edge over people that are not paying money for the game. And like I wanna ask you about that too, because I don't like that personally. Me, you know, I like the grind. I like to like have everything available to me. But like what do you think about the pay to win motto? Just in general, like in modern gaming, like
no, I like earning, you know, my stripes, I guess you can say, in games. Like I never paid for like a console game, like a real game. I never paid any microtransactions. So and now that I've encountered this issue in like these mobile games where if I do pay for something, I get like, you know, that interest just goes away completely for the game. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's like, why do people do that? Like, how can someone, you know, pay to win and then still have fun? Because I can't. For me, the interest went away instantly. Well, not instantly, but like a couple of days later, it just completely went away and I just wasted $15 that I could have just, you know, saved. So I don't know how pay to win helps them, you know, like the game anymore, any better or...
Yeah, I mean, you know, like currently, like, so I play a little bit of Hearthstone and it's a little pay to win because you have to get like the better cards. And you could say a lot of like card games are like that too, where you have to spend money to get the best cards. But it is like that. You know, people pay money and like you already know that they're going to have the best cards, so you have less chance of winning. I don't know why. I think maybe, you know, maybe it is like their own personal goals, get a certain amount of wins or get to a certain rank. I don't know what it is, but what I do know is that, like, the companies and whoever does it, like, they have you in their sandbox, man. Like, they, and again, and you made a good point. You were talking about it too. You were like, oh, you know, what's $15? You know, it's a little lunch. What's the difference? But over time, 15 here, 15 there, 15 on that game, 5 on that game, man, that, real quick.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah. And another thing, it's like you, so you were talking about like how it's not fair also to, you know, players who don't spend money to get the better characters or the better weapons or whatever. Mm-hmm. And now a lot of people are going to be facing other players who have that advantage, and it's not fair to them. And I completely 100% agree with that. But I kind of feel a little bit of sympathy for the companies that have to do that, because I think for the last decade, gaming companies have like struggled gaining any sort of like or just gaining money in general. Like developers are underpaid, like the employees, they have to crunch and they get underpaid. Companies don't have enough money to shell out like the game that they want, and they feel like they have no choice but to put these microtransactions in there in order to sometimes even just break even.
Dude.
And I don't know where that is coming from. Like, I don't know if that's the publisher just, you know, taking 90% of their funds or whatever, or their earnings.
Yep.
Or I don't know if technology, or I don't know if things are just expensive, or I don't know what's going on, but I think some companies do it just to be greedy. And I think some companies felt like they had to put it in there in order to just make a little bit more bread, you know, so that they can survive, really. And I think that's what the case was with Ed Boon. I don't think he wanted to put transactions, but I think I think he was kind of forced to put it.
Well, you know, first off, awesome segue, by the way, awesome segue into the next topic, because you are absolutely right. You know, companies are being forced to do these microtransactions because you're right. There's a lot of people that work way too much overtime on these games. Like, we've heard stories. There have been all over the media about how people are being overworked. And the big bads in the companies are like, listen, we got to get this game out there at all costs. We'll update it later. We'll put in some microtransactions after, you know, like after they release the game and after it gets the reviews, then they sneak in the microtransactions, right? So that the game can keep making money. Because I think it was, there was a recent Star Wars game. Everybody was talking about it. That Star Wars game where, like, it is just filled to the brim with microtransactions. And it got bombed. Like, review bombed because it had so many microtransactions. So then companies started to learn from that. I was like, I bet we're going to let the people review the game before we put in the microtransactions. A couple weeks later, they update the game. They put in the microtransactions. This is all the big head honchos. And there was a community. It's funny that I play Hearthstone because Blizzard is known. Blizzard's in the hot seat. He's been in the hot seat for a minute. But Blizzard is known to only care about, like, you know, the money, the moolah. I mean, even Activision, you know, Activision is another perfect example. Like, they're all in it for the bank. These people, they balance and do things in the games for money. They don't care about the players playing it. They don't care about the balance of the game. They just want your money. That's all it is.
Yeah. I think it's the really big companies. I think, like, number one, EA, like the top dog of this, like, crap, you know. Blizzard, is League of Legends part of Blizzard, or are they?
Yes, it is. Damn, I'm gonna get flamed for that one if I don't know that one.
Yeah, it makes total sense. I think I've heard you talk in a different episode about Overwatch. So I got into Overwatch late. So game came out 2016. I think I started playing it during COVID, like 2020 or very early 2020. And like my wife, she got me into it, and we started playing it. crazy all the time. And then I played the shit out of it, and I realized that nothing has changed since the game came out, besides just like a few characters or like slightly some modifications to make the game a little bit more balanced. But maps, I mean, maybe within like 5 years, would they release like one map, if that?
They ever released
maybe like two or three characters?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, maybe not like early 2016, but let's say like late 2016 or early 2017.
Yeah.
There was probably very little that they updated. And the same thing with League of Legends. I mean, League of Legends have been, it's been the same exact game. And I mean, people love it. People love the game. That's fine. But I played it for like 3 years. And I don't know if you ever played League of Legends, but they have a map called Twisted Tree or Twisted something. I forgot now. Mm-hmm. It was on beta for like 5 years. I mean, how can you have one single map on beta for 5 years? It doesn't make any sense. And yet you have these like insane competitions, like this crazy events, and these crazy like tournaments with League of Legends. Your people are paying in-game coins and stuff like that for skins and stuff, and you've had like one or two maps in your entire existence. What are you doing with the money? I mean, you know, if it's because you need to pay your workers, that's fine. Just be transparent. You know, like let us know. Hey, we've had this game came out 10 years, and we've only been able to put out 2-3 maps, because, to be honest, all our money is going to development and our workers. Just be transparent, and we wouldn't question it.
That's true. That's 100% true. If they came out, newspaper, anybody came out and said, yo, listen, this is where the money is going, we are apologizing or whatever it is, I think more people would be more inclined to put down the pitchforks and play the games and not complain. But listen, It's pretty obvious that they're keeping the monies for themselves. It's all about them, honestly. Because, like, if you get this much money, you should be updating the game, like you're saying, right? You should be putting in more maps, more characters, more weapons, whatever it might be for that specific game. There is no excuse as to why you can't. Now, here's the thing, though. I will say this in defense of the developers and all that stuff. Games are, they take way longer to make, and they cost way more. I understand that. There's no doubt about it. You know, like, it's a different time where we have deeper stories, deeper technology. I get that, because games are costing quite a few bucks to make, right?
Word, dude. I remember PS2 had an insane library. Like, I remember having like plus 50 games for the PS2, maybe 75 or something like that.
Yeah, they're popping games for that PS2, man. That's why it's the best system of all time. It's just going out.
And then even the PS3, I remember like, oh, the games are kind of coming out a little bit slower, but I remember towards the end of the PS3 era, I still had like 50-something games.
Oh, yeah.
And then PS4 came out, and like, I don't know, 3 years in, I still only had like 10 games. But I just remember games selling out just a lot more, and really good games at that. Mm-hmm. And then now you encounter like a really good game, like maybe twice in a year.
It is like, really upsetting. Like, what's the last good game you played? Like, you really sat down and you played it. Like,
okay, so I didn't get to play God of War 2. The Ragnarok.
Yeah.
That probably would have been my top, because my top was probably God of War, the PS4 one. I thought that was a masterpiece.
So good.
But Spider-Man, not the last one that came out, but the first
not Miles Spider-Man Morales.
Came out.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, I 100% completed that game.
And see, and that came out like, what, 2 years ago? 3 years? I don't know when it came out. Spider-Man, the first one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And again, you know, that has to do with people's taste in games and stuff like that. I understand that. But, like, I do agree with the point where it's like, you know, we are buying less games because, like, obviously they cost more. But also because there's a lot of garbage out there.
First of all, like, I'm not saying the PS4, PS5 are not coming out with any games at all, but
okay, yeah,
out of the 50, 40 games that are coming out in a year, only like 5 are really even worth playing.
Well, you know, just to give some credit to where credit is due, 2023 has been, Jesus, it's been phenomenal for gaming. I'm not even going to hold you, man. We got some bangers this year, but I've only gotten like maybe, I got God of War Ragnarok. It's all wrapped up in its casing. It looks brand new. Still haven't played it. I'm serious, bro. And I loved the God of War, the first one. It's an amazing game. I think it's beautiful. But I've only gotten like Resident Evil 4 Remake, Dead Space Remake. What else came out there? I got Street Fighter 6 recently. Barely playing it. And what else? What else came out this year? A bunch of stuff is coming out. But you get my point, is that like, and we can transition into this too, because I want to ask, like, what you know, the difference between like gaming as a kid, right, versus gaming as an adult, and the amount of games that you used to play versus now, the quality, all that stuff. Like, what do you think has changed, and anything you have to say about that whole topic in general, you know?
Yeah, I think that's why I even brought up mobile gaming to begin with, because I haven't touched my PS4 in almost a year. And I think, you know, I always said to myself when I was younger that I was always going to play games. I was going to continue playing these games forever.
Oh my God.
And there was nothing you can do to tell me otherwise. And here I am, and I haven't touched the freaking, you know, PS4 controller or PS5, whatever, in like almost an entire, I don't even have the PS5. I'm not even worried about getting the PS5. I'll get it when I get it. But in the past, I would be like on it, like, I want a PS5.
Yep.
Now I'll get it when I have the chance to. And it's just like, I go to work and I'm so just tired, and I work extra hours all the time. Man. And I go home and I just lay in bed, and and that's where like really mobile gaming comes in, because I could just chill in my bed and I just play a stupid game on my phone. It'll entertain my brain a little bit, and then, you know, just have something playing on YouTube in the background, and then I fall asleep. And it's been like that for the entire year. And I feel so bad, because I still have games in a case, you know, that I bought last year. I've never even got to play Borderlands 3.
I loved
Borderlands, the first and second one, so much. I loved it. And I never even opened Borderlands 3 out of its like plastic, you know.
It is so sad, bro. And I think a lot of people can relate to this. And I want to ask like two questions off of this. Like, one, you know, because as a kid, there's just so much to this question, right? So, like, first off, as an adult, we all are working, you know, we got jobs, we got wives, kids, and all that stuff. As a kid, why did you play games as a kid versus why do you play games as an adult right now? Like, what is the difference? Or is it still the same? Like, why do you go to your mobile games, right? Let's just say,
let's say I did have the time to play these really big budget games.
Mm-hmm.
Probably play them for the story. It's more like, I think of it more as an experience, like going to the movies, to the theaters to watch a movie versus watching the movie at home.
Yeah.
You can, you know, I've watched movies that were like critiqued like to be average or just bad. And because I saw it in the movie theaters and I saw like on Dolby Cinema, the experience was great. I enjoyed it. And people who watched it at home said that the movie sucked, like Mortal Kombat. Now, I'm not saying Mortal Kombat is an amazing 10 out of 10 film, but I enjoyed watching that movie. I saw it on Dolby Cinema, and it was entertaining. There was a lot of bad, but I have no regrets paying like a $30 ticket to see that, or $40 ticket to see that.
Oh my
People who saw it at home were like, yo, that movie was garbage.
Oh, and my gosh.
I kind of just see that in the same way. Like, if I were to, you know, be up to date and play games today, it's more for an experience. It's for a story. It's not even just for like entertainment in the same way that when I was a kid, it was more well, more fun entertainment, more just something to do, something to keep me distracted. And that's not to say I didn't love it just because I needed something to do. I mean, like, I enjoyed doing it, but it's different. I wasn't looking for an experience when I was a kid.
Got you. Yeah, you know, and it's I want to pause right there on the experience thing, because, you know, just to mention it too, because you mentioned the God of War, that game was an experience. That, like, the story, the cutscenes, the way the characters interacted, you know, just the whole game was an experience. And this is a big topic too. We can get into this a little bit too, but you are absolutely right. I think games nowadays are for more of an experience. And as a kid, because let's compare, right? Let's compare God of War for PS2, the first one, to God of War, you know, the one that came out 2017, 2018, right? The recent one, right? When you played God of War on the PS2, it was button mashing, watching Kratos do all these cool moves, you know, beating, you know, the enemies to the ground and ripping eyeballs out. Like, you was like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
It was like mindless fun, you know. Yeah. It was just pure entertainment, but just for mindless fun. For example, when I was like 8 or 9 playing Grand Theft Auto, which is insane, because people wouldn't even, you know, let their kids touch a game like that or even a movie.
Yeah, we all were,
you know, in that kind of way. But our generation, dude, we were playing Grand Theft Auto at like 8 years old.
I would just spend
the entire, like, 8 hours, an entire day, just randomly, you know, doing what you're doing, Grand Theft Auto.
Just showing everybody, just watching the police go after you, putting in the cheat codes, get unlimited shit.
Dude, nowadays, if I play, like, whenever Grand Theft Auto 6 decides to come out, I wouldn't even do that same kind of thing. I would spend some time fooling around, but I would mostly try to just do the story. Like, for example, Grand Theft Auto 5 was, to me, perfection. The story, the character, amazing.
But it was an experience, right?
It was an experience. I didn't really fool around too much like I did when I was a kid, just mindlessly shooting everything on sight, you know, getting the 5 stars to, like, just, you know, get the SWAT and the army to come in. Yeah. You know, I would go to, like, a police station and go into a corner of the jail cell, and then whoever just came through the door,
light them up. But it's so true.
Yeah, it
is so true. And, you know, this is a deep conversation. I really like this because, like, we can go into different avenues with this game too, with this topic, because I feel like that's also the development of, like, games in general. Like, you know, games have come really far from just being this mindless thing that you play ping pong on, right? Or you just Pac-Man, get all the dots. Now it's whole experiences. And I felt, you know, like when I was a kid playing Nintendo 64, you know, Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie, all that stuff, when I played, it was a lot of fun, you know. And me personally, I played them to, like, kind of escape my realism and kind of just go into the fun world and see all these different colors and do all these different things and, like, do stuff to make me laugh and, like, really just bring out my playful side. Nowadays, I feel I still kind of do that. Like, I still laugh, but, like, you know, playing something like, again, God of War, you know, watching the relationship between Kratos and his boy, like, that hits more home now, you know? Imagine being a father and you're playing that game and you have a son and you're like, the you know, the dynamics, the things that you're learning how to be a son, and you're watching this guy, like, man, like, he's trying this and he doesn't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a father. You know, like, you connect. And I feel like, again, one, not a lot of that is talked about in today's gaming. But also, two, that's just where we are with gaming in general, besides the whole microtransaction stuff, obviously. But they got to sneak all that stuff in there. But gaming has evolved. It has, I guess, in a way, and you can, you know, correct me or agree with me or not, but I believe gaming has matured, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. It's funny. We mature, and gaming has matured with it. I think one thing I can give credit to the gaming industry right now is that they know their audience, and they know that we're older. Like, a lot of the people who are playing these games, like for example, if you played God of War for PS2, that game was rated for mature, so you had to be 17. But let's be honest, a lot of us kids were playing that game, and they know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now God of War came out, the new one, and they realize, shit, a lot of the people who played our games earlier are now adults. With, you know, with kids and stuff like that. Like, they know that our time is very, very valuable.
Yeah.
So they try to make the games. Yeah, they're trying to make games as, you know, as good as it can be to make sure that is this worth people's time. And then also, you know, pair it with themes that can be related to what we're going through, like parenthood, you know.
100%, man. And I'm so glad that we're having this conversation, because there's a lot of characters that I grew up with that are old, man. Like, not just Kratos, man. We got Dante from Devil May Cry, man. Like, there's a scene in the new game where he's just, like, he was just tired, bro. I'm like, Dante, get up. Like, you're the man.
Yo. The last game for Devil May Cry was pretty fun. I played that game thinking it was going to be dog shit. And it was fun, man.
That game was...
And we're talking about, like, games being an experience, but, like, I could say one of those games I played, and it wasn't for an experience. It's not like, you're not really there. You don't really play the new Devil May Cry for its story.
Yeah.
But it was fun, man. It was a fun game.
I mean, it was interesting. You know, it was fun. It was interesting. It was an experience. I liked the combat experience of that game. Like, it was really thought out, like... That's just
the characters.
Yeah. I mean, even the story. I think the story, they actually, like, really developed the story and the interactions with these characters. Because, like, before, you know, it was all right. It was, you know, brothers fighting each other. But I felt like this one was more of a family dynamic, which is, again, something that we all are relating to now. Because back in the day, again, like, Devil May Cry 3, Devil May Cry 1. You know, you were just hacking and slashing, man. And you saw your rival brother, and you're like, yo, I'm better than you. I'm going to beat your ass. That's it. That's all you thought about. But now you're like, you are my brother. Stop fighting me. Like, I love you.
Word.
You know?
Dude, you made such a good point with that maturing, you know, thing. Because they're making games really more mature now. Because, again, I think they just know their audience now is just grown, and... You know, we don't have time to just hack and slash anymore without any real significance to it.
Bringing it back to the mobile gaming, I think that's where mobile gaming kind of comes in, right? It is the more fun and brainless side of the games, which as much as I harp on mobile gaming, like, again, you don't want to come home after a long day of work and get stressed out about something in the game. So you either pick up a mobile game, you know, and you turn it on a couple hours, or you pick up a story-driven game, you know, and it's not too difficult. You're just enjoying the story. You're going along with it. And that's all you need. You don't need this, like, you know, hardcore gaming session, because you're already tired from the day. And again, not a lot of people have time to go on Call of Duty or whatever it is, grind your rank up to the highest rank. We don't got time for that, man.
Yeah, and I would love to play Elden Ring. I really, really would, but I'm not ready to die 100 times in the same, like, in the intro. Like, I'm not.
Exactly.
I don't want that.
You're going to spend 45 minutes dying after work, you know?
Yeah, and I'm not someone who has, like, patience like that. Like, you were talking to Jason on
Destiny 2,
Sekiro 2, and Bloodborne, and how you love how challenging those games are.
I
like Bloodborne. I have the game. I one day would love to really play it, but I haven't gotten past the first chapter. And I can't. I keep dying over and over. And honestly, like, look, I'm not a great gamer. I grew up playing very casually. Like, that's something, like, I Elijah would always joke about how much I suck at games. But I never tortured myself. Like, I went to his house one time, and he's playing Splinter Cell on the hardest difficulty. Yes, you get one bullet, and you die, and you have to repeat the chapter from the very beginning. And we played the first 2 minutes about 100 times, and I just can't. I just grew up in sandbox games, doing whatever the hell I wanted. No really like difficult, nothing really difficult. I had some fighting games like Mortal Kombat and DBZ, but I always played those by myself, so I didn't really have a challenge. You know, Elijah grew up with that challenge. He played with his brothers, and you know, you always have to, you know, if you want to win, you have to be better than your opponent.
Right.
And
that's right.
And I guess, you know, I guess he got into the habit of just choosing the hardest difficulty. And then he just got really good at games by just always playing the hardest difficulty. And I never got, and I was never that. I was just playing casually, you know, enjoying the story, or just, you know, my thing was always sandbox games like GTA.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember this game called Mercenaries for the PS2.
Mercenaries.
Oh, man. Yeah. So Mercenaries is like, it's like an army game, but you have like an open world map, kind of like GTA. And you can destroy everything in that game. The only weird thing that you couldn't destroy were trees. And I think they did that on purpose. So, you know, I think they want to try it. They were trying to like say, oh, you know, let's not destroy trees now. But you can destroy almost everything on that game. Oh, so man. I just played hours and hours and hours going around there and blowing shit up. You know, I never played challenging games when I was a kid. So,
you know, here's a couple points here I want to make here. It's good that you're doing such a great job with these segues, man. We're like going all the way backwards, you know. Well, we're almost done. So, first off, yo, shouts out to Elijah. This the man, Mairu Gatari. Yo, I love you, bro. Can we shout him out real quick, man?
Yo, yeah, he's been like my closest friend, or you know, one of my closest friends, you know, since ninth grade. So,
oh man, thank you so much.
I love that dude dearly.
Yo, much love to that man. He's a great person. He's coming back on the show. Excuse me. He's coming back on the show, man. He doesn't know it yet. He probably already do, but he's waiting for us to go do that Resident Evil 4 episode. I'm telling y'all, it is coming. Don't you worry. I'm still playing the game.
Yo, honestly, let me ask your opinion. Did you really think they had to remake Resident Evil 4? Like,
well, look.
I thought it was a little too early for that. I mean,
thought so too, bro. I really, really. And you know what? I made a video about it, a little segment about it. I was on the camp of don't remake it. And just a little sneak peek into Resident Evil 4 remake episode that's coming out soon. I did enjoy the Resident Evil 4 remake. It is a beautiful game. It is, quite frankly, almost a masterpiece. It is its own game, okay? And I will say that the original Resident Evil 4, there's a lot to discuss. I don't want to get into it, but I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that they remade it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, overall, those are my... But
yeah, I'll say the juicy bits. I haven't played it, but the only one thing I do want to say that from the gameplay that I've seen... Honestly, to me, obviously the graphics are, you know, up to date,
yeah,
amazing. I just feel like it kind of threw away the scariness part out of it.
Oh.
Like, I'm seeing this footage, they're like comparing the PS2 and the PS2 version and the new version, and the scene by scene, it's like, I felt like it's not as scary. Like,
wow,
well, I know you want to get into it in your episode,
yeah.
But did you feel like they took away the suspense or the scariness of the game?
Well, here's the thing, damn, I really do want to get into that episode, but there was some certain parts where I thought the game was scarier than the original. But here's also what I'm going to tell you is that, like, you already knew what was going to happen, so the scare factor was obviously going to be like less scary. That's just one of my points. But overall, I thought that it was a lot darker than the original one. But we'll get more into that in the new episode.
And then the little kid, the little the villain,
Salazar. They
did him dirty. That's not. They should have let him be a little creepy kid looking.
Yeah, last to discuss, man. But y'all might have got to if you're listening to this, bro. We're gonna be doing this episode, man.
All right, yeah, I'll save y'all.
But yeah, back to that original point before we wrap things up. I just wanted to say also too, you know, because like there are different types of gamers, and I do appreciate the developers for making games and adjusting difficulty levels, because I do complain that games are easier. I'm on the same boat as Elijah. I do love crazy challenges. Like I did God of War, the remake, all the whole game without leveling up Kratos past level 1. I did the whole game.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
That's, dude, you and him gotta be like sadistic.
Yeah, I've gotten that before. Yes, yeah. That is on the hardest torture. Difficulty. It is torture. It was torture. But there was just something about it. Like, and listen, this is also probably why I don't play as much games as I do, because it's taken me months to even do that months to do that one challenge. And that's all I was doing, right? So I would set time aside. Let's say I got out of work, you know, calmed down, collected, cool, make sure the wifey was okay, did everything that I had to do. Sometimes, not all the time, you know, I still get carried away. And then I would sit down and I would stream the game, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to play for an hour and 30 minutes today, see how far as I can get. That was just me personally, you know, with the difficulty. And I love the game that much. That's why I started that game that playthrough in the first place. But that's also another reason as to why I don't play a lot of games, because when I play a game, I take everything that it has to offer, everything from the lowest difficulty to the highest difficulty. I want to break the game. And I want to see everything that it has to offer me. I want to squeeze all the orange for its juice. And that's what I did. You know, that's what I do. And again, developers have kind of designed games to be that way. It's also designed them to be easier for, you know, the casuals to just get right in with the story, put it on assisted difficulty. I'm not for that, but I appreciate that they do that. And especially for players like you, you know, who don't want to torture yourself on the harder difficulties. They just want to fucking play the game, enjoy the story, and do stuff, right?
And honestly, the way I play games, it makes it, you know, because obviously if you put it on the easy mode, you can go through it very easily and very fast. But the way I play games is like you, like I want to get everything out of it. So I'll just do everything. Like if there's a stage, let's say it's a linear game and there's not much exploration, I will, and there's a stage or a map or an area that you're, you know, playing the mission in, I will go through the entire map, just freaking walking around and just looking at the scenery, just make sure there's no collectibles, or if there's a collectibles, I'll just, you know, I'll do that on the way. Like, I'll just won't go rushing through a game like that. I'll spend my time, like, the Red Dead Redemption 2. It took me 3 months to beat that game, and I don't. Does it have a difficulty mode? I don't know, but I didn't set it.
Yeah, but I imagine it does.
Oh my dude, you didn't play Red Dead Redemption 2?
No, I haven't even. Oh played my the god! First. I know.
Okay, that's also a masterpiece up there with God of War. Like it was perfection, and if I'm not mistaken, I put it on whatever, like on normal. And so nothing was challenging, but I spent 3 months purely just exploring and doing side quests and collecting things and just, dude, there's animals in there. And I would just go and scope, like I would just get binoculars and just look at animals just doing, like drinking water out of a river or just walking, like doing nothing. I was just doing nothing in the game, just having fun. You know, walking around and looking at animals, or like, you know, I also kind of in my own way, you know, squeeze all the juice I can just without that challenge, you know.
Exactly. You made a good point. In your own way, and I feel like gaming has evolved and has gotten to the point where like everybody gets what they want from them, and then it goes on, you know. And this is a perfect segue. I want to finish up the episode just, you know, asking you also too, like, what are some of your favorite games? You know, where did you start with the gaming stuff? Like, you mentioned it a couple times throughout the episode, but, like, you know, just overall, like, when did you start gaming and what are your favorite games?
So I grew up playing games with my brother. So my brother's a lot older than me. So I kind of just like grew up playing on the Sega, like Mortal Kombat, Sonic. Never really had Nintendo. That's crazy. We were a Sega family, so whatever Sega games were on, I would play it. And then we got the PS1, and I remember Gran Turismo. I remember some of the Resident Evil games on the PS1. One that I would play a lot was what's the one with the where the main zombie villain is like blue?
You talking about blue? You talking about Nemesis, or you talking about
But I remember Nemesis. Yeah, I remember his name with three Nemesis. There was a side game that they made. It was a lot easier. It was kind of like first person.
Are you talking about Resident Evil Gun Survivor? Like, is it first person when they had like the aiming reticule on the screen?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That's a first. You know, people don't talk about that game because like it was terrible. People say it was terrible. I've never played that one. It's funny enough. I barely have played it.
Yeah, it was Lone Survivor, right? It was with this guy, and then like in the background you see these like blue like zombie. Lone Survivor, right?
Well, it's called Gun Survivor. Gun Survivor. I should Google
it. Oh, Gun Survivor?
Yeah, or maybe we'll Google it.
Yep, Survivor. Resident Evil Survivor. Exactly that one. I remember playing the crap out of it. And then I went to the PS2, and I remember the first two games I had was the Spider-Man movie game. And I played the living crap out of that. I don't know if you played that game, but when you finish the game, multiple times you unlock it. Green Goblin, you can play the whole story as Green Goblin and the Shocker and Rhino.
Oh,
really? And people didn't know. Yeah. People don't remember. People mostly remember Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
But I had the first Spider-Man game that came out, Spider-Man, the movie. And it was like the movie adaptation, but it was a great game. And usually movie movie adaptations. Yeah, no, this was great. And then that's when, you know, GTA. So, like, honestly, like growing up playing those games was the best time of my life. I can honestly, if I were to go to heaven, I would love to relive my entire life from 8 years old, maybe seven, all the way till like 13, because that was my main gaming era where I could have been an athlete outside. You know how kids played outside. And I did. I mean, I wasn't, you know, unathletic for my build. But, you know, I had no regrets. I have no regrets just spending countless hours, maybe not even going outside for days, waking up, hopping in a game, playing the entire day, going to sleep, and on repeat on, like, summer vacation.
Oh,
it was the funnest time of my life. That's why I love gaming. Like, that's why it's always going to be in my heart. It is, till this day, at 28 years old, the best time of my life was playing those games when I was a kid.
Oh my God, you're going to make us cry, bro, man.
Yeah.
A lot of people can relate to that. I could say the same thing too, bro. Like, it was just the purest time. It was like...
pure.
Yeah, like no influence from the world got to you yet. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like... no adulting, no money, no taxes, no Donald Trump, no, you know, just pure fun. And I think, you know, it's a big topic that I would really love to do a solo episode on it one day, where like I really just talk about this whole aspect of pureness as a kid and tapping into that inner child from every now and again, because that's also why, another big reason why I still play games to this day. It's to tap into that boy, you know, that person that was sitting in front of the TV, maybe with a bowl of cereal or something like that, you know, just playing for hours and not even like mad, not even sad, not even like just pure.
Pureness. Pure.
Yeah.
It's the very definition of pure. Like, that's the only time I've ever been pure in my life. It's weird. And I'd play those games endlessly. I have probably hundreds of hours on GTA, Vice City, San Andreas, Mortal Kombat, Deception. I don't know if you ever played Deception.
Deception. We just finished the episode. I'm telling you, I watched that episode. We talk about Deception. Deception, Conquest Mode. That
Conquest.
And boom.
I would give him, I don't know, man. I would pay $1,000 for Mortal Kombat to remake Conquest.
Dude,
but in a good way.
Yo.
Conquest was so, it was so, that, you know, Shujinko was a pure person.
Dude, that's so funny. But damn, man. Marcus, I'm telling you, but you're right. He was so,
you remember Shujinko? He was pure. He was a pure guy. He was manipulated, but he was pure. Even at the end, when he got tricked by Onaga, he was like, Shujinko's like, damn, I spent my entire life.
Oh my goodness.
Damn. Trying to do what was supposed to be, you know, good for this earth. And, what a story, you know, huh? I just helped the biggest villain. And yeah, it was so sad. It's so sad that he was an old, you see him grow up. You start from a child to an older, like elder.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Dude, man, we're all Shujinko, man. We're all now. We're all fucked up in the no. Yo, but seriously though, Ed Boon, remake Conquest, please. Thank
you. Conquest and Shaolin Monks too. I had a great time with Shaolin Monks.
Oh my god. Can y'all go watch that episode, man? We talked about this stuff, but yo, oh man. Seriously though. Any last words on all this? Really, I really enjoyed my time talking. I'm sure everyone else has enjoyed and gained some insight on mobile gaming and just gaming in general today, and have really also just connected with us as well too, bro. I'm sure there's a lot of people that can really resonate with this episode and what we talked about today. Mm-hmm. So any last words, anywhere, you know, you want people to find you or something like that, anything like that, shut yourself out, you know, let's hear it.
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I'm not a social media guy. I mean, I have an Instagram, but I don't really care if people follow me or not. I mean, I don't really do anything. I don't post anything. You know, it wouldn't matter. But no, if you're just like talking just deep stuff, you know, always get into deep conversations with people. People always talk and it means nothing. It's just like, I'm not saying, you know, I don't want to sound like freaking Will Smith's kid. What was his name? Jaden Smith, trying to be woke and shit. I'm just saying, like, sometimes, you know, have a deep conversation with someone about something sometimes, you know, and just open up and get emotional, get deep, and it just makes you feel, I don't know, it makes you feel good about yourself. It makes you see what's going on in the world, even as something as little as gaming. I mean, you can talk about like the financial aspect of gaming, or like the, you know, how gaming is affecting children's lives or adults' lives, or you know, what they could provide. You can talk about gaming and you can expand that so much more into what it really is. It's not just about playing a silly game. I hate when people say, oh, you still play games? You're a grown ass man. Like, dude, you sit there and watch a movie for 2 hours doing nothing else. What is the difference? What is the difference?
And you're not even getting to see deep conversations, man. You just watching whatever you watch. Let's say, you know, I'm not harping on football, but let's say sports, right? You sit there, you watch sports. You know, it's the same thing, man. You're making experiences. You're making memories. Let us have our memories and things with games too, all right, man? Seriously, man. Yeah. But, dude, you know, this was great. I really appreciate your time, man, today. And, like, this was an awesome episode. And you're right, man. There's going to be some more of this stuff. Guys, please, let me know if you want more of these types of episodes where we just sit down, we just have a nice conversation about whatever comes up. You know, obviously, we got a little plan in there going on today, but, like, I really want to see if you guys want more of these fireside conversations where anything goes. We just talk about whatever comes to our hearts, because you're right. You know, Marcos, definitely, you spoke really well today when you said, you know, we need to open up more. We need to have deeper conversations, less of that surface level stuff and more of that deep
stuff where we connect with humans, because we're all starved of that today. And I'm going to tell you this right now, because we all may have social media and we all may be connected on social media and all this stuff. But are we really connected? Are we really talking, you know, and listening to each other? And I think that's something here on Infinite Lives and Games that we do. We really talk. We really sit down. We have great conversations. So again, Marcos, thank you. Thank you so much, man. I really, really appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, as always, if you guys want to follow me across the whole social media platform, you can go and search Infinite Lives and Games everywhere except the Twitch, which is twitch.tv/chefinfinite. I haven't been streaming in a while, but I really do want to come back, get some challenges going again, you know, join me in there as I torture myself. Maybe me and Elijah can collab and do something together too. That'd be fun, you know, torture ourselves. But yo, this has been your boy, Chef Infinite, Infinite Lives and Games, man. If you guys want to be a part of the episodes, please DM me, message me. Let's get deep. Let's talk about games. Let's talk about life. And as always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.